Spreaker user? Follow us on Spreaker and help us get closer to getting listed on iHeartRadio. Remember just to search for No Free Drinks on the Spreaker platform.
And welcome back to No Free Drinks. It's your boy Wesley, and I'm here with my co-host,
Lena D.
Hey, it's Maddie.
Oh, Maddie looks scared as fuck right now. Anyway, we're about to get right into it.
I'm trying to be better, so I'm not going to curse you out right now.
All right, before we get started, though, I wanted to share some, if you guys haven't seen, myself and Maddie, we have our own Instagram accounts where we basically go at each other. I call her Ratchet, and she didn't
Because he's rude.
And she didn't take too kindly to that. So if you want to hear all this banter on Instagram when we go at each other on each other's posts, go to Instagram.
Or if you just want to interact with us like normal people.
In the DM.
Thirsty. Not my DM.
Go to Maddie underscore NFD or Wesley underscore NFD. That's W-E-S-T-L-E-Y. Don't leave out the T, please. Underscore NFD. So, yeah. Let's get started. Right now, tomorrow is International Women's Day. So. Woo! We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, all the ladies out there that make this world go round.
Hey.
But before we get into like the meat of our episode, just to give you some historical context, I'd like to tell you guys about International Women's Day. When did it get started? So it basically came out of the day because the UN recognized it as an annual event. It's the first activism tied to the movement that happened in 1908. With 1,500 women marched through New York City. Damn. 1,500? In those days with the cobblestones?
15,000.
Oh, sorry. 1,500. 15,000. Oh, my bad. That's even worse. That's even worse. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to diminish anybody out there.
Any of the women that walked in this?
Like, damn. Like, 15,000. Those cobblestone streets? Chill. Chill, chill, chill.
In their heels.
And.
Because, you know, they have those little boots.
Oh, yeah, they have those little, like, kitten. Yep.
I feel like those are comfortable more than
the Oh, have you worn them?
I feel like they would be comfortable.
But have you worn them, though?
The boots?
Yes. With the heels.
With the boots with the heels?
Yes.
I got boots with heels.
Those aren't real heels.
Those aren't real heels?
No.
You mean like stilettos?
Can you continue?
All right, let's continue. I'm digging myself into a hole right here, guys. Yep. And they digging deeper for me. This march was basically because because women demanded shorter working hours, better pay, and the right to vote, which is very important.
Hashtag women's suffrage.
Hashtag Wakanda forever. Okay. Anyway, it was first celebrated in 1911 in the countries of Austria, Denmark, and Switzerland. And this celebration marks the 107th celebration. Man, I wish I was in New York when they had the 101 happen, because, you know, 100's a big number. And yeah. All right, anyway.
just to point out, because in case you listen to the episode after we've released it, the International Women's Day itself is celebrated on March 8th.
Yeah, that's it. It was like tomorrow.
Right. But like, what if they listen to this episode 2 weeks from now?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then you missed that. It was March
8th.
You
missed it. Well, that's Women History Month, but still a whole month. Celebrate all the fantastic ladies out there who've made history. So this is our celebration, NFD celebration for International Women's Day. So, yeah.
And one of a lot of the things that we want to talk about is just highlighting how women have been making strides outside of just the typical areas. Because like the day back from like 1908 until now, it's really been about how women make progress in society, in politics, economics. But there's so many other spaces that we don't usually talk about the difference that women have made, especially those that are normally male dominated, and particularly those tied to sex and sexuality. Because for whatever reason, women don't like sex, according to some people, or like there's some fable
Lies.
Out there that
Lies.
Women don't enjoy sex, or women don't want stuff that's really, or don't want to talk about sex. So that's what we're going to.
It's like, I don't know.
I was so tempted to bust out in let's talk about sex,
yeah.
But I'm feeling a little sick, so I'm going to save y'all that.
What?
But that's what today's episode's about.
Yeah. What started the sexual revolution?
Oh, so I'm glad that you asked, Wesley. So the sexual revolution really started with, and I was surprised about this because I wasn't really expecting it to be this, but it was the first birth control pill that came out on the market in the 1960s.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was called Onovid, and it was the first time that it was considered a reliable and basically a controlled way for women themselves to have some sort of ownership of their own sexuality. So it's like you didn't need the consent of your partner. You weren't relying on somebody else to basically bring have the condom. Control over
sexual, bring the condom.
Well, to bring the condom, but it's like over your own sexuality. Because obviously if you have sex, you can get pregnant.
Basically.
So that's kind of what kind of kicked it off.
And basically back then, condoms were basically for sailors. Not even lying. Condoms were for sailors. Condoms weren't like widespread like that back then.
So like women probably couldn't go into a store and just buy condoms.
No, definitely not.
I want to look into that one.
Seriously. Yeah, no, go ahead. Yeah.
Because at least
I didn't say sailors invented condoms. I'm just saying they were primarily no, used I was just by
now
sailors.
I'm wondering like when did it become more mainstream?
Gotcha.
Like
okay.
But the pill launched in 1960, and within 5 years, 6 million American women were on the pill.
Yeah, hey, that's what I'm talking about.
Which
no babies
is crazy. So let's talk about pre-birth control pill, post-birth control pill. So in the 1950s, 6 in 10 women were virgins when they got married, which is a lot. And 87%. And this is kind of like limited to American stats, so internationally it could look different. But 87% of those American women thought that it was wrong for women to engage in premarital sex. Anyway.
Hold up. It says that they believed it. It didn't say that they wasn't getting it in. Let's clarify that.
Well, that's true. But like 80, so out of the 6% that, I mean, the 60% that were waiting till marriage to have sex, there was like 27% in there that were being hypocrites.
Yep. Pretty much. Because notice those stats don't match.
And even if it was like, hey, I was having sex with the man that I was going to be married to or promised to or engaged with, it was still a big no-no.
Promised to? I wish somebody would tell me I was promised to someone.
What? So then if you flash forward to 5 years after this pill was launched and they kind of redid the stats again, only 2 of the 10 of them were virgins at marriage. So there you See? Go. That actually lines See? Up with.
Told you.
Yep.
Man.
So just because they were saying didn't mean that that's what they really wanted.
Basically.
So that was a lot of what kind of brought on the dawn of the sexual revolution. But it's interesting because even though this was taking place in the 1960s and the 70s, you flash forward now to 2018, and there's still a lot of personal moments that really still bring to life that a sexual revolution is still happening. So I would say that for me and sort of like my point of view around how that's still manifesting itself is all around like choice and the flexibility of whether you even want to have sex. Because I like remember we talked in one of our previous episodes where teens now are delaying when they're having sex.
Yep.
And even sex positivity, even though that is a big thing and it's very important, it's not just sex positivity, but like even the definitions of what is good sex positivity. So really tying in the fact that it's not just about the simple act of having sex, but making sure that there's pleasure tied with your sex. Because I know that I grew up, or I guess not really grew up, but in my adult life.
I was about to say, you better finish the statement.
This might look, why you got to call her out like that, though.
Might get a little crazy, though.
No. I was like talking more about like my sexual self growing up.
Gotcha.
So like once I started having sex. So I lost my virginity at 16. But it took about 6 years for me to experience a real orgasm. So even within that, it's not just about, hey, I'm having sex. But now I don't want to deal with stupid like people that don't know what the fuck they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like I demand having good sex.
Sir, do you know where the clitoris is? No, get out. Like, dang.
Wait, don't you have a story about that?
Like, I do have a story about that. Somebody thought that my clitoris was located inside my vagina.
Goodbye.
It's the goodbye.
Yeah. Did you tell him to exit stage left?
I did it. That was the problem.
Yeah, the English accent. Do you exit stage left? Wait, what was that?
Because when you hear foolishness like that, you got to be proper.
But seriously, so now it's not just about like, oh, I'm a woman, I can have sex, but I have some standards with the sex that I want to be having. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that. Now, like for me, it did take some years for me to get there, but I think it's even more positive that women are having those conversations earlier than like 6 years into having sex.
Basically.
So right. I do see that the sexual revolution is coming about that way, because part of it is having the confidence to say, you know what, you don't know what you're doing. Like, please leave my house.
Damn.
Word.
And most times, people or women haven't felt that comfortable saying that to someone. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, you know, your self-pleasure and your pleasure taking center stage versus man's pleasure or the other person's pleasure taking center stage.
Yeah, for real.
No, I dig it. I think that's in some, it's in line with everything that you just said. And what I've seen is just how women are no longer, or not as much, are we viewed as just a plaything for a man. Like, we're not just here to satisfy and please him. And there is actually a recognition of a female orgasm, and we see the introduction and just the how commonplace it is now to have sex toys that are specifically for women and sex toys that are meant to stimulate women in different ways, and that acknowledgement of all of our needs and understanding and exploring our bodies. Y'all know I'm hardcore Jesus freak. But even, and I'm going to say, it's like, even in the church, you see it more. And of course it's under the umbrella of within the
confines of relationship.
Yes. Within the confines of marriage. But even in the church, they're saying, if you're married, sir, you need to make sure that you're taking care of your woman.
Oh man.
Oh really?
Yes.
They're all about that.
And I'm just
this
like,
in the sermon?
All about this life.
Sometimes it's in the sermon. Sometimes it's in like the sessions after the fact. Yeah. Yo, church be lit. Like, y'all sleeping on church.
I need to, after this show, can you tell us what church?
Shoot, we in there. Let's go.
I need to get right. I need to get right again.
But they will tell you that. And it's just like, man, nowadays they're even tying it into the Bible. Like, well, in the Bible, it tells you that a man and a woman shouldn't even not have sex unless they both agree to it. And it's just like, hold up, where say that at?
Unless they agree to it. Oh, geez.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, so you're not going to give it up. Why? I didn't agree to this shit. But it's becoming more commonplace now, where it's not just like sex is no longer this bad word where it's a taboo, and a woman's place in being sexually satisfied and pleased is commonplace, even in those places where it used to be like, oh, we don't talk about sex.
Man, like, I love the 21st century right now.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. It's good progress. I mean, we still got a ways to go,
yeah,
but
for
it to be talking about in church, I mean, that's like, wow.
Yes, we haven't arrived by any way, like, yeah, by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, for real.
But I can't remember, or maybe I just didn't understand it when I was little. But I don't remember hearing those conversations about that, where right. It's just like, sir, you need to please your woman. Ma'am, you need to make sure your husband is pleased also. It's always just been like, don't have sex. It's like, this is progress in terms of women now, at least the way I see it.
No, that's good. Wow.
Man, but yeah, y'all can come to my church.
Yeah, I come to my church.
The stuff you learn. Dun, 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 dun.
I think for me, what I've noticed in my life, or in my relationships anyway, is that I like it. And I'm in a relationship with a woman who's like very, it was like sexually aggressive.
Who apparently will kick you out if you don't know where the clitoris is.
Yeah. I don't know, like, there's something about that that's like a big turn on. Like, it's just like, oh, today I will initiate today. Like, oh, really? Okay, I don't have to do anything. Cool.
Just lay there and take it.
Yeah, just take it all. So I'm all about that. So yeah, I'm simple.
So I guess, like, I'll ask you, were there instances where you did feel that not... Or like, there were either, was it common for you before, like, you decided to be in a relationship where you felt like women weren't that confident?
Hell yeah.
In their sexuality?
Man, I did. Most definitely, yes. You got some prudes out there. Like, I would say, they're not prudes. I would, like, I think this is a wrong choice of word. I would say that they're very inhibitive. I guess.
Inhibited?
Inhibited. All right. Inhibitive. Wow. Inhibited about, like, sex and how they feel about sex and stuff. And that makes for a really corny, like, you know, interaction. It really does. It's just like, don't touch me there. No, no, no. Don't touch me there. Oh, I'm so ticklish there. Like, this is not how I would picture this going, hot girl. I think you need you to get out right now.
Oh, wait. So you kicking people out too? Dang. I think I need you. Y'all out. Are savages.
Fuera.
No, no. So, yeah, I'm simple. I'm simple.
But no, I think I've heard it even from some friends who are like, oh, no, I would never let a man do that.
Yeah, see.
And I'm looking at them like, Lana, I just be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Like, why are you missing out?
You are missing out. Because back in my day, I'm going to let you know. No, but.
See, now Maddie's showing her age. See that? See that? See that, ladies and gentlemen?
No, I'm showing my past life.
Whatever.
Before I was saved. Back in my whole days.
There's BC and then there's AC. Before Christ and then after Christ.
Pretty much.
What did you think I said? What did y'all think I said?
Before cock and after.
Oh, Jesus.
I was thinking BH and AH, no, like before hoe and after hoe. No, no. But all of these are amazing options. Like,
see that, ladies and gentlemen? I tried to keep it PG for once, and they took it all the way to rated X. They took it rated X.
Hold on,
and
not
R's.
They. Lena D. Took that.
I was like, what? I was like, why did they give? I wish I could see our eyes when I said that. Their eyes. I was like, wait a minute, whoa. What's up? Did I
see,
say something crazy?
My thing was, I was thinking, oh, he's keeping it official, cool. And then this one over here.
We're talking about some before cock.
Wow. There are children listening. Maybe I hope not. I really pray there are no children listening.
Man, we a bunch of heathens on here.
Y'all. Y'all a bunch of
y'all
people.
What?
Well, I mean, I think that's an awesome segue into what we're gonna talk about.
Oh my Jesus.
Indeed.
Which is porn. Which for way too long has been dominated by cock.
Can you pass that wine over here? Pass the wine bottle over here for real, please. Please. I need a drink.
Apparently, Lena D done had way too much.
I need a drink. There's no free drinks, and we having wine over here, so I'm about to pour me a glass. Hold on.
But anyway, like I said, too much of it going around. And with porn, it's always been about the male face of porn. And there is basically this thinking around what porn is supposed to be. But that's also changing. So what do you guys think are some of the things that people have normally thought about when it comes to porn?
I mean, I feel like you said it best. Cock. There goes that accent again, because I'm trying to bring it back. Tone it down a little bit. But in terms of like a woman's pleasure in porn, I feel like the only way that's really highlighted is if there's no man in the scene.
Hmm.
Like
I said.
And I hate to say that, but I mean, they have a whole section on just like women's porn now, or a porn just like that's targeted towards women.
Man, that should be romantic as fuck. Have you seen them say romantic?
They got the candles, them. The flower petals.
I'd be like, damn, like this look like some real ass stuff.
And
going
if
down.
You'll notice more often than not, it's lesbian porn. Mm-hmm. Usually, there's no man. If there's a man in the room, he's behind the camera, and it's not the ones where he's being the creep. Like, yeah, take off that shirt.
Wow,
like,
which they do have. And it's super creepy.
And those are hella creepy.
Wow. I haven't watched this.
We know what you watch, and it's not that.
Yeah,
so.
That's not that, no.
Cream pies and BBW.
Hey!
That has way too much cock in it. That's why that's in the past.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
No, but you know the worst kind of porn is, though, is like you watching the scene, right? And I'm gonna describe the scene. And like for me, I'm very perceptive about like how people react by their facial reactions and stuff. So like this dude with this big ass dick comes out of nowhere.
All right.
And it's like all of 10 to 12 inches, right? He look like he could hurt your back with this shit. She laughing. But then like you see these women like, and they literally can't take it. It's like halfway in and the pain, they be turning red and stuff. I'd be like, damn, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. She looked like she had pain, all kinds of stress.
I feel like that's exactly why they created the women's.
Yeah, that's a lot. I was like, that's a bit much. Like,
no woman fantasizes about being impaled
by
a penis or having her spleen ruptured.
Chill out.
Because
you got some dude like Lex Steel coming out of nowhere with the big ass dick.
Yep. Nope.
Nah, chill.
And like the way that they're using it isn't even pleasurable.
Now they be trying to like kill these girls. They be going ham sandwich. I'd be like, that is not that is not cool. That's not how you use that, sir. That is not how you use it.
Yeah. I mean that all that stuff is true. The other thing that I always noticed is, and I never quite understood this because it was like really annoying for me back then, but it was always about the woman's body. You could see it was all up in her vagina. You could see all the pink inside, all up in her butthole, all up in her nipples. God damn. And like in the softcore porn, you would see most of that stuff, but then you wouldn't see the dude's dick or like the man's like physicality was never like a topic of the porn.
Yo, Maddie's like, I can't. I don't know.
Because I feel like y'all are explaining exactly why I really don't watch porn. It's
she's
like
lying, but
none
okay.
of this, none of this makes me want to go home and like hop on Pornhub and be like, let's see what's on today. Like, nah, I'm good.
No, but they do have the romantic stuff.
So. They do now.
Yeah, now they do.
But that's like more of a, I would say it's taken some time.
Yeah,
even that to become popular.
It's very like romanticized, and they doing all the foreplay stuff. They doing all the it's all the little things I guess they do. That's like that's cool. So.
And I would like to give a special shout out to not my homegirl, but maybe she could have been my homegirl.
God,
Candida Royale, born in 1950. Hold up, how? So yep, she could be.
She,
my mom, maybe my girl. Either way, she probably wouldn't be my homegirl. but she was, it was a pioneer in the porn industry. And she's absolutely amazing, in all honesty. Even if you don't support pornography and everything that it represents and you have like strong feelings towards it, just as a woman, the way she revolutionized it is definitely still admirable, and it's like hats off to her. So she just made it a point to actually have a storyline in porn, and I'm going to assume it's not those horrible like the plumber or the pizza delivery guy storylines. Like she wanted to make it more woman friendly and to highlight the woman's role in porn.
Okay.
And to make sure that or to really highlight sex as a more pleasurable act versus this impalement that we were talking about earlier, because I feel like she saw it as not just a way to get for guys to get off.
Right.
Right.
But for everyone to actually enjoy it.
Women, especially. Yeah.
Namely women, because right. We all know porn back in the day, and even now it's for a majority of it, isn't targeted towards women. It's not about us. It's not about our pleasure. It's not about what we want to see.
Right.
Because I cannot think of a single woman that wants to watch a camera go halfway up another woman's vagina. Like, I know what mine looks like. I don't care about what hers looks like. Thank you, sir. Can you back up, though?
Right. I feel just to, like, cut in a little bit to your point about porn, I feel like it's as though maybe some of the guys in this new generation can't, you know, depict what sex really is and what sex looks like in porn, because there's like a big difference.
Yeah.
So they think that, you know, what you see in the film is like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to like, you know, have sex with her raw dog, pull out, bust nuts on her face. Like, that's not how the shit goes. Like, it really, that's not how any of this works. Like, it doesn't work like that.
It's dangerous.
That's very dangerous, number one. Number two.
Okay, side note. I'm so sorry.
Don't bust no nuts on somebody's face. Like, come on. That's just the worst ever.
Because when you said that's dangerous, all I was thinking about was busting nut on her face. Not the rest.
That's pretty dangerous, too. Like, you can't just.
Because I'm just like.
Like, no foreplay. You just. Yeah, you just. Nah, when I say that, it's like, you just go in. You're not no foreplay. You just think that, oh, she's automatically wet. So I'm just going to stick it in there. And, like, that's not how. You got to warm it up. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's not how any of this works. Especially the busting the nuts on the face thing. That's just.
So.
I don't understand that.
I have evidence as to how that's dangerous.
Busting the nuts on somebody's face.
Oh, hell no. I already know this story. Oh, hell no.
I'm ready. Hold on.
No, you got nothing to do with me.
I'm ready.
You got nothing to do with me.
I would hope she wouldn't tell me that story.
Hashtag it ain't got nothing to do with Wesley.
Hashtag no. not Wesley.
Hashtag not Wesley. But I was at a cocktail hour with some. Like, ladies, not all of them. I didn't know all of them. Some of them were new ladies that I was meeting. There was a doctor amongst them. And we started, you know, people were drinking some wine and people were starting to get chatty. So the doctor starts talking about, like, the extreme cases she's had in the emergency room, because she works the emergency room. And she was talking about how this lady came in. Her eye was, like, all sorts of fucked up, like, pink, pussy, oozing stuff.
I feel like you can stop this story right now. I'm over it. I'm done.
And basically, they ran all these tests and found out that she had chlamydia in her eye because she let her person bust nuts all up on her face. So it can be dangerous.
Bruh.
Just know who's busting on your face.
No.
Just don't let anyone bust on your face, period.
I was just like, I mean, Maddie on the same boat with this one. Like, that does nothing for anybody. Like, there's no gratification out of that.
I can honestly say it has never happened to me.
I just don't
see it. I don't see it ever happening.
I don't see, like, the appeal to it. I just really don't.
I don't even like seeing it in video. Like,
you're like, keep it away.
Like, yep, nope. And now hearing, like, Hephaestus is out here catching chlamydia in the eye. Nah, we good. We're good. It's supposed to be wrapped up anyway. What the hell? How, Sway? How are you? Nope. Mm-mm. Next topic.
So your homegirl, Candida, was one of the first women to really change the porn industry.
Whoop, whoop.
But even so, like, it's still something that's happening recently. So there's still a lot of women that are going more into porn. And there's even been, like, even though there were women that started doing this in the 80s, it's still been really a concern of safety and, like, women that work in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point, and, like, this is, like, completely unacceptable that the industry would kind of just say there's certain occupational hazards that come with being a sex worker or a porn star worker. But one of the big concerns is that there's a lot of violence and sexual assault that happens on the set of, like, when these porn films are being produced.
What?
How you tell me that's...
So, yeah. So for the people that have said that it's an occupational hazard,
crazy.
Women have started to do something about it because they're like, well, yeah, if they are in this line of work, it doesn't mean that they don't have the right to be safe or they don't have the right to not be assaulted, like, which is insane. And a lot of women have started to produce their own porn production companies to make sure that the environment that they're working in is a lot safer than whatever these people are claiming are occupational hazards. So Paulita Papel is one of these women, and she basically runs a site that's Women for Women Porn, and it's called Ertzies. So they do, like, kind of what we were talking about before, female-friendly sex, but in her case, also making sure that the environment is also safe and healthy, and it's all about 100% intimate moments. So we kind of, like, mentioned all this stuff, but this is just to talk more about their company. And, like, the biggest thing that really drove her to do this is that she would watch adult films, and, like, her biggest thing was that she didn't want to watch one and feel, like, and, like, question herself around whether that woman on the screen really wanted to be doing what they were doing.
Word.
So So to the impalement faces of pain comment that Wesley made.
Chill. No Lex Steel in this bitch.
So that's like really cool that there's like these just the genre. Yes, the genre has been there, but I think even more from a safety component, like that's something that I don't think has been addressed enough. And even from a societal point of view, I have heard in certain cases where people are just like, oh, well, if somebody gets raped and they're a sex worker or a porn star, the assumption that, oh, well, they shouldn't be working in that industry if they don't want to get raped. Like, I just think that's unacceptable.
Bruh, chill.
How does that even make sense? Like, I don't understand how somebody forms those words or forms that thought and then let it escape their lips. Like, do you not catch the stupid before it comes out of you? Stupid. That's to whoever thought those things, not to you. Lena D.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I gotta ask a question that now I don't have. Okay, so let me ask this first question. Maddie, have you seen like Deep Throats? Like the movie? Like the iconic porn video or porn movie from the 70s? So you see it.
I've seen it.
Would you consider that like a feminist leaning like porn production or not really? Because I feel like because it has these ties into mainstream media. So I just have to ask that question.
So do you know the premise behind the?
No. Oh, yeah. So the premise behind the movie is that basically this woman, she can't find her clitoris or something like that. And her clitoris just happens to be in her mouth or something.
Well,
why are you laughing? Yo, you messed up.
That's stupid.
Or in her throat or something like that.
I just can't imagine waking up one morning. It's like, my clitoris, where is it? That's how I'm envisioning it. Be like, she can't find it. What?
It's just like, I don't. Okay, this is a story.
Okay, maybe. Lena D, explain this to me because I'm hoping he's just doing a bad job.
I think I may be doing a bad job, but I think I'm pretty.
She lost her.
I'm pretty almost. I think I'm like 80% there.
Well, it's a little bit differently.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Basically, Deep Throat is about this woman that she can only be pleased by having a dick down her throat. That's why it's called Deep.
Oh, okay.
Dumbass. This one.
My bad. I totally fucked that one up.
She lost her clitoris.
Hey, at least it was for good comedic value on this bitch. So.
Okay.
Oh.
I can't find it.
I was like, wait a minute.
That makes more sense.
I'm glad it's attached to me because you don't know how many times I misplaced my keys.
Word. Can you seriously? Like, I lose things all the time. Like, the hell? If it was possible to lose it, I think that would be the most devastating thing to lose. Like, yo, I lost my clitoris again.
Or that one time I left my earring at that dude's place and I just left my clitoris.
Oh, shit. Hey, Lena D, I'm just calling to let you know that you left your clitoris here. I can mail it back to you. I know you don't want to see me again. Like, what?
It's like, motherfucker, how'd you find it after I left?
You couldn't find it while I was there. Why do you think I left so quick?
Oh, hey, man. It was good for good comedy value, at the very least. Hope it made you guys laugh.
That's something, all right.
So the thing that just my point of view on it, and it's, I think at that time it was supposed to be progress because it was like her name is Linda Lovelace the name of the lady that was like the main star of that movie. And it was just very different within that time around like how they were showcasing like women's pleasure and this and that. But what my problem with that film was that, again, pleasure was tied to the dude's cock.
Ah, okay.
Because it was like the only way that she was going to achieve orgasm is if she basically went down on a guy and like deep throated him.
Okay, yeah.
So it doesn't, like what I didn't like about it, or more around like why I don't think it has as impactful of like feminist value, or if you think about feminist porn, it was still tying her pleasure to a man. It's like she couldn't please herself on her own unless she had a guy's dick down her throat.
Word.
Okay.
So I do, like, there are some people that say it's a very iconic film. Like, it was very revolutionary for its time.
I would say iconic, but I would say, like, it has its ties in mainstream media, even to this day.
You don't think anything's iconic, so we're not even going to get on
that. Nah, I'm good.
I'm still upset about Whitney and Bobby.
The Rock is iconic.
Stop.
But
11-time WWE champion.
We're not even going to talk about that.
The people's elbow.
Oh, I'm having, like, flashbacks of how you terrorized me. Anyway.
But yeah, no, I'm glad that you brought that one up, because we didn't include it in here. But I think the point that I'd like to make with sort of having that being part of the conversation is that sexual revolutions, feminist revolutions, they're only as impactful as to how relevant they are to what the final goal and the cause is. So just because it's different for its time, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it's actually pushing through the agenda in as powerful as a way as you could.
But I think we can't ignore the fact that it can inspire
For real.
The next innovator
right.
that's going to come along. Because I feel like I've never seen it, but just hearing about it, it's going to lead more women to feel like they actually have a say. Because even if she needed to have a man's penis halfway down her throat to orgasm, it's still about her being able to mm-hmm. orgasm. So then it's opening up that dialogue to be like, well, what would it take for me to orgasm?
Right.
And then you have these other women, Candida, shout out to Candida and Paula. Did I mess up her name?
Paulita.
My bad. But they're like, okay, well, that was how you viewed it, but this is how I'm going to view it. So I'm going to take the torch from here.
Right.
No, that's a good point. I didn't think about it that way, but I do think that sometimes you do need to have the baby steps, sort of. So, like, what were people during that time going to be open to viewing, mm-hmm. so that it kind of lays the path for somebody else to come and push it further. So
pretty much,
right. Yeah. No, like I said, true. I think we live in a good time. You know, taking things just maybe a little political. If we can see like young kids take on the NRA, I think we live in a great time right now. Just putting that out there in terms of like all of the societal things that have been happening, at least as of late. So yeah, political and otherwise. So
yeah, and I remember one of the kind of the individuals that was at the forefront of even that debate and even that conversation. One of them is a woman.
Yes,
and she's very strong in the way that she's delivering her point of view. She actually has like the facts to back up what argument she's making.
She went toe to toe with the public person, so the public relations person in the NRA. So I think we live in a good time as far as society is concerned. I think like right now, I feel like it's a transitional time, but I think it's transitioning towards something much better in the future. Like if it's not going to happen now, it's definitely going to happen. It's not even a matter of. Like, if at this point, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah. No, I definitely love, I don't know if you guys are talking about Emma Gonzalez, the one with the buzz cut.
Mm-hmm. Yep, her.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember her name.
Yeah, I couldn't remember her name. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
She definitely stuck out to me. She killed it.
We took it political, but like, it's just related to like everything that's happened in the society.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's pretty much what we've been saying. It's all these women that have set the stage.
Exactly.
For her to be able to stand up there and speak and be heard.
Right.
I think that's the key, because there've always been women that have spoken out. I mean, we've said like International Women's Day has been around for over 100 years.
Right.
So there's always been the platform, but women haven't always been heard and paid attention to. So now it's like enough work has been done where she could stand up there and we're like, I remember that girl with the buzz cut and everything she had to say. And not like, oh, she was so pretty. I think that's what I love about her. Like, she's not the, oh, she's just so cute.
Man, she got like, a buzz cut. She like, a badass. I'm giving you this work. That's what work. I'm talking about. I'm going to give you this work.
And she's just like, who is this girl?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, shit.
Damn.
I feel like it's something tragic that needs to happen for, like, change, which is unfortunate. Like, I didn't even think about another. This is unrelated to the, well, kind of related, but not so much to the topic that we're talking about. I remember, what was the young woman's name? Malala Yousafzai. I think that's her name. I think I'm butchering her name. But basically, she got shot in the head. She got shot in the head by like the Taliban that had raided her village or whatever. Mm-hmm. Ended up winning a Nobel Peace Prize. And she's talking about all about women's rights and all that good stuff. So, like I said, if this is not, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen. So,
we can always be making progress.
Yeah, definitely.
At all times.
100%.
Yep.
So, when it comes to like within this, the sexual revolution, and we're talking about women making a difference in a space that has always been led and driven by men, like sexuality and porn and sort of the sexual liberation. Like, there's still progress to be made, though. There's still things happening that it's still like, oh, man, like, we still have a way to go. And one of those components is like, yeah, even though women are sort of demanding good sex and are saying like, hey, these are my standards, there's still some people that aren't comfortable openly talking about sex or openly saying, I don't want to do this, or just having a point of view with their sexual partner and having that conversation. Like, there's still some value that's tied to some sort of guessing game in the bedroom. And like, that's being sort of like elevated as being like the ultimate way that you can experience sexuality, is that if your partner just knows what you want. Right. So like, I think that's a space where there's still a ton of progress to be made.
Yeah. I think, I guess in line with what I was just saying, there's still space for women's voices to really be heard in our society today. And although, like I said, we have these platforms, we've made this progress, we're seeing more women step up and speak and stand in their truth, there's still this layer of skepticism when we hear women speak, and this belittling of them. It's like, you still have to be bomb. Like, you have to come with your A game as a woman in order for you to get that same level of respect as your male counterpart. So there's still progress there. And we see that in everything from women's claims with sexual harassment. Like, women have been talking about sexual harassment being an issue for so long.
Yeah.
And it's not until like, what, a couple dozen women finally say something where it's like, oh, wait, what were you saying like 12 years ago? I know you've been saying it, but we didn't care. We weren't paying attention.
Well, it's like, we weren't really sure if it was true.
Yeah. It's like, why does it take so many women to speak for that one voice to be heard?
Yeah.
And again, it's like, from sexual harassment to pay inequality, it's like, there's still a lot of spaces for women's voices to be taken seriously. So we've made a lot of progress, don't get me wrong, but I think we could all agree there's still a lot of work to be done.
I felt like that should have changed with like when Anita Hill came up to Congress and talked about Clarence Thomas and what the hell happened between, like, that didn't change. It just, everything stayed the same.
Word. If anything, she was vilified for it. Like, she was the bad guy.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. That's stupid. That's messed up.
Because it didn't make sense.
That made no kind of sense. But anyway, hopefully.
Wesley, where would you like to see progress made?
Progress made. Where would I like to see progress made? That's a good question. I feel like I'm going to have an overarching answer. I'm going to try. So, where I would like to see progress made is, like, I guess from a man's point of view, is if I see other men say stuff like, oh, you know, she's a hoe because she'd been with like 23 guys or whatever. But then, nigga, you've been with 23 guys too. So, I mean, 23 women too. So what the hell are you talking about?
I mean, he could have been with 23 guys.
Yeah. but my thing is this, like, why can't people just be people? Like, if a person wants to have sex with somebody, why can't it be just that and nothing else? I have to be all kinds of labels and names and shit like that. So I think for me, I would get rid of the labels when it comes to sexuality. I definitely would do that. For me, that's what I would like to see. But I feel like I said, that's a very overarching answer. Because I think that's really like a big,
I wouldn't say even a societal problem, like U.S. society. I feel like it's like a world problem where we see like, we don't see women as like just people. We just see them as like second class citizens. They can't do anything without a man telling them what to do. Like I, that's how I personally feel. But like I said, very overarching answer.
Yep.
So
I think it's a good point and something that you definitely need to have somebody checking that point of view.
Right, right. Word.
And I think this is where Maddie said about, well, there's a platform, but not all women are being heard even today.
Right.
That's one of the issues where women are not being heard.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's definitely a double standard behind it. And it's going to take other men or like other people that are seeing this behavior.
Right.
Actually call it out and being like, wait, like, nah, chill.
Right. They're not chill. You can't do that, bro.
Word.
Yeah. Chill out. Relax. All right, then, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you like what you heard. Peace out, Girl Scouts.
Later.
Bye.